Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Marisa Randazzo. She's the managing partner with Sigma Threat Management. Not going to scare you, but get some great information. And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Trey Abney, Ernie Adler, and Joe Gill. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane. Let's get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in 1 day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Marisa Randazzo. She's the managing partner with Sigma Threat Management. She's a threat analyst working formerly for the federal government, including the Secret Service, and she's also a psychologist. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Pleasure to be here.
We ended our conversation last time with what did you think are the biggest threats, either internal or external, to our country? Your response.
And you said
at the time both, but I'd like you to expand on that.
It is both, but you know, since you and I spoke last time, we've seen the shooting in Tucson, Arizona, and the assassination attempt of Representative Gabrielle Giffords. We do face both internal and external threats, and your question last time was, so where do we need to focus our attention? And I still argue that we can focus on both. But in a way, we have to be aware that there's going to be information that crops up, maybe that we get externally about internal threats and vice versa. We can use one process to handle both types of threats, internal and external, and that is really a threat assessment process, or behavioral threat assessment is probably better called. Really looking at the behaviors of someone, whether they're internal to our government agencies, internal to our country, or external, that suggests they are thinking about and talking about violent plans and a desire or an intent to do harm or to do sabotage. What I really think is important for people to understand is that when we're talking about preventing harm, assassination attempts, terrorism, we're talking about preventing behavior. And so if we're looking for warning signs, we're going to be looking for behavioral clues that someone's planning out those attacks.
Now, do you have concerns? Because, you know, certainly in New York State, in New York City, they're saying if you see something that's not right, call it in. Do you have concerns that, you know, people are going to be taking revenge on somebody and saying, oh, so-and-so is acting up, and they're not really, and all of a sudden they've got the FBI on their tail?
You know, great question, because that's so much of what people worry about, and the fact of the matter is using a threat assessment process can rule out those cases very quickly with no penalty or harm to the person who's reported. There's probably going to be penalty or harm to the person who calls in if they were doing it maliciously. If they're doing it with an intent to get someone into trouble, then there's consequences for that. But if you've got a capacity, whether it's in local law enforcement, through a college, through state government, at a national level, through our fusion centers, to be able to look at a report and say, okay, so we've got this report that someone may be trying to do harm. What else do we know? Can we verify it? Can we corroborate it? Are there other people or other entities that are concerned for similar or even different reasons about this person? You put those pieces together quickly, and you know very soon, yes, we need to be concerned and we need to do something to stop this, or no, this was a misunderstanding or trying to get someone into trouble, we can rule this out.
Well, it's kind of like the IRS. If you turn somebody in for an audit, you get audited yourself first.
Absolutely.
So there is a block there. How do you protect 535 members of Congress?
I have tremendous admiration for the U.S. Capitol Police. They have a tough job. Their job is very similar to what the Secret Service has to do, but without the same level of resources. So they have to look into every threat that a member of Congress gets, whether it arrives at the Capitol by mail or email, or it's someone who shows up at a district office, but it's the same process. So they look at what is known about this person. They'll go back to local law enforcement. They will talk with other members of Congress to see if they've gotten maybe not threats from that person, but troubling mail, odd mail, or maybe this person's shown up someplace. If they can, they'll try to talk with family members or coworkers or other people that know this person and say, okay, what is it that we're seeing here? Is this just someone who is angry and venting, which people do, and they have every right to do? If they cross the line and they engage in illegal behavior, such as threatening, then they're going to look and see, all right, are they just talking, or are they actually planning? Are they just thinking about doing harm, or are they taking steps to move it to a point where they can carry out some harm? And one of the big things that we look at in any type of case, whether it's a threat to a member of Congress, a threat to a president, the high-profile people that we help protect, and then also threats in colleges or workplaces, we look at whether this person is actually intent on implementing, whether they're going down what we call a pathway to violence. And in the work that my colleagues and I did at the Secret Service and studying all types of attacks over the years, the people who carry them out follow the same trajectory, a pathway to violence. They come up with an idea to do harm, then they develop a plan, then they develop the means to carry out that harm. They need weapons, they need ammunition, they need to get that to the place where the target is, and then to the attack itself. So in preventing any types of these, terrorist attacks, assassination, workplace shootings, we're asking, is the person on that pathway to harm? And if so, how fast are they moving forward? And where can we get in and intervene and get them off that pathway?
Well, it's interesting that we didn't see any kind of copycat crimes after Congressman Giffords was shot. In fact, it almost went the exact opposite way, where not only were Congress being more civil, but even shock jocks were being more civil, where they've been joking about so-and-so should die, and suddenly was saying, you know,
right,
we shouldn't even be saying that anymore.
Well, and I think that's one of the, if we can look at a silver lining in terms of the tragedy that happened in Tucson, I think that's one of the good things that we're going to see come out of it, is more civility in our political discussions and our media coverage and sensational shows about politics, because we didn't need to be there. I have had so many questions from colleagues and from clients after the Tucson shooting of how much did this political discourse contribute to what happened. What I'll tell you is what we know from research, and that is that when people are considering doing this, one of the factors that we look at that can influence their behavior is what we call setting, meaning are they getting encouragement or motivation from some outside sources that they respect or they like, or are they getting discouragement? Are their good friends saying violence would be a good solution to your problem, or are they saying violence would not be a solution? In this day and age, with everyone's access to the internet and being able to connect to people around the world, it's easier and easier for someone who's thinking about violence to find someone somewhere who's going to encourage that action. But I think that our politicians don't have to be the ones to be doing it. And I think the fact that they're all reining themselves in, looking bipartisanly at engaging in more just collegial interaction. They can disagree, but they don't have to do it in a nasty way, and certainly not in a way that would suggest or encourage violence. I think that's going to help all of us.
It'll be very interesting to see the next political campaign and what the advertising is like in that. But let's take a break.
Yeah.
We'll come back with more when we come back after the break.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Have urgent needs. If you have good credit now and a good credit history, you can qualify for a low fixed rate 30-year refinance loan from Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They turned my good credit into a great rate. Thank you, Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They came through, like they said, in less than 15 minutes.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Call us now for your low fixed rate loan.
Call 1-800-604-1585.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as a manager heads to the mound. Uh-oh. I have never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Marisa Randazzo. She's a threat analyst working formerly for the federal government, including the Secret Service. She's also a psychologist and the managing partner with Sigma Threat Management. I wanted to ask you about the Israelis and the Stuxnet virus, where they duplicated the Iranian centrifuges and then used this virus to attack the Iranians and put their nuclear program back several years. Your thoughts on that?
It's an example of what we see in terms of insider threat or cyber sabotage and cyber terrorism that's starting to go on. Cyber terrorism isn't new, and insider sabotage in a cyber capacity isn't new, but I think we're seeing an increase in level of sophistication. And in the work that I've done in the cyber sector and cybersecurity, what fascinates me is that part of this, there's a culture where it's almost gamesmanship in terms of people who are engaging in that type of behavior, trying to up the ante against others who are doing something similar. And what we're seeing states do now is starting to bring those individuals who do this type of sabotage and cyber terrorism incredibly well and trying to bring them on board to be used for state reasons. So I see it as the next dimension of inner political conflict, and one that's going to be really tricky for a lot of people to get a handle on, because you don't see the same type of visual effects from it. You hear about it, and it's hard for people to understand the extent of damage that can be done. But it really is, it's significant and it's troubling.
Well, and when it's, you know, this is, it's not the first time that states have gone out and found the bad guys and co-opted them to come work for them. But the threat then to the United States.
One of the challenges the United States has faced, and the U.S. has recognized this for years, is that for cyber protection and cybersecurity, it absolutely requires a partnership between federal government efforts and state government efforts and private security efforts, because so much of our critical infrastructure sector, especially when it comes to cybersecurity, is held by private companies. So for years, there have been different agencies, the Secret Service among them, that have really tried to think proactively about how can we get their buy-in and their support and work collaboratively for cybersecurity. And I just want to mention, because I think it's a great model, the Secret Service has been doing this for years in partnering with people who are experts in this, in cybersecurity. and also with the private companies that hold the greatest amount of the critical infrastructure in terms of cyber protection. And they've said to them, we need your expertise. We can't, yes, we're federal law enforcement, but we can't do this alone. And at the same time, they've trained some of their agents to become experts in cybersecurity. So they're building up their own expertise, looking to expertise outside, and it's really going to require that at a national level and international level.
What did you think about the uprising in Egypt and the fact that it at least initially started out with Facebook and Twitter?
It is such a wonderful example of where social media can take us. It was fascinating to watch, and it's definitely outside my area of expertise, but just from the perspective of a U.S. citizen to watch individuals using an ability to communicate like that for political good and for political change. And what I think
we hope, and
we don't know yet, but what I'm encouraged by is that it was, relatively speaking, nonviolent. And given that so much of what I do and what law enforcement does is violence prevention, to see that happen, that level of political change in a relatively nonviolent way, was very encouraging.
But not the same case in Iran.
No, not at all. And we'll all be watching that.
Last question here. We've got about 30 seconds.
Sure.
Egypt is going to need to rebuild its tourism industry. I think we talked about this last time you were here. I was there last year, and they had the tourist police everywhere that are standing around with, AK-47s. What can Egypt do to tell the average American it's safe to come back to Egypt and visit? That's a huge part of their economy.
It is a huge part of their economy, and I think that this is going to be something, it's going to be a rapidly evolving and moving situation for quite some time. I think the faster they get their own political house in order, things will calm down and look stable. But I also think that people are going to be interested to go there because of what's happened. And I think that the fact that they were able to allow these protests to happen with minimal violence, minimal harm to individuals, actually argues a lot for the safety of the security and security of the country already. So it's a situation I'd watch, and I think it's going to be evolving quickly.
Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Sam.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
It's a joyful sound. Presenting Voices, the ultimate gospel choir collection on two CDs for just $24.99.
I sing because I sing because.
But wait, order with your credit card and we'll cut the price to just $14.99. Then review other great gospel collections. Satisfaction guaranteed. So call now to get Voices on two CDs for just $14.99.
Call 1-800-587-6644 to order Voices, the ultimate gospel choir collection, for just $14.99 plus shipping when you use your credit card. Call now or order online at timelife.com/voices.
No matter where news happens, the News Force SkyCam Network has you covered. With the largest camera network covering our area 24 hours a day, rely on News 4 to bring you the news as it happens. When there's breaking news, only the News 4 SkyCam Network shows you what's going on around northern Nevada, getting you the information you need to know, from severe weather to traffic and wildfires. Count on the News 4 SkyCam Network, keeping you safe.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, great PowerPundit panel. As always, Joe Gill, the attorney, is here. Morning. Ernie Adla, former state senator.
Good to see you.
And Trey Abney, director of government affairs for the Reno Sparks Chamber of Commerce. Pleasure to have you all here.
Thank you.
Last night was the Nevada Taxpayers Association dinner in Carson City, a biannual event, and always well attended. Over 300 people there last night, and all the major players from the legislature were there, and including all the lobbyists. Your thoughts on the atmosphere there?
Well, I think there's a surreal aspect to Carson City right now. We have a very popular governor, and even the opposition party likes the guy. And he and they have met often, apparently, and are talking to each other. But the opposition party doesn't, from what I gather, doesn't like what he's saying. In fact, I've heard some things like that there's no way to live within our means with this budget from people. It was a very friendly atmosphere. People were almost in kind of a upbeat party-like mood. There was lots of friendly discussion. There were Republicans and Democrats sitting with each other, and so that's what I think is surreal about this, because at some point we're going to have a very serious discussion and probably a big fight, but not yet.
Yeah, definitely. Last night, although I did find that Governor Sandoval's speech sounded like he was still campaigning.
Well, I thought the speech, which was mostly about him and his family living in the mansion and their experiences, was probably the right thing to do with that crowd, rather than go into a policy speech. Everybody knows where he stands on
things.
Yeah,
but that's where it ended up, though.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the atmosphere at the legislature?
The atmosphere at the legislature in general, I mean, it's only week three. And so it's kind of interesting. I can tell you that in my few short years here, this is probably my third legislative session I've experienced, they seem to be moving much more rapidly and doing a lot more things in the first 3 weeks than they have the past couple sessions. Democrat legislative leadership has said that they want to pass a jobs agenda in the first 30 days of the session. And so, you know, it's every other day they're having a press conference. I think today they're doing something on education, apparently. They will rush a bill to committee, sometimes in a BDR form, before it's even a fully drafted bill. And so nobody's really ever seen it. And they say they introduced it on the floor, like yesterday, Senator Horsford, a bill introduced on the floor, and then brought it right to committee at 1 o'clock. And so they're wanting to get these things done to show that they're doing something to create jobs. The jury in my own mind is still out on whether these bills actually, at the end of the day, create actual jobs. I think you need a strong private sector to do that. But they're moving fast because they want to get, I think they're trying to get the easy stuff out of the way that they think people can agree with, bidder's preference and things like that, because they know, as Joe said, there's going to be a big fight. It's not going to be a party atmosphere come the end of May, I don't think.
One of the interesting things, and I agree with Trey, is the public relations aspect, especially on the Democratic side, has been quite astonishing. The press releases are coming out almost daily with what's going on. The Republicans are also doing the same thing. Ryan Irwin, his office is putting out press releases on almost a daily basis as well. It seems like everybody's trying to lay the ground.
Well, I would agree with Trey. There's a lot more activity now than there usually is in an early session of the legislature. In a meeting with legislators in the private, though, there's a lot more tension. You can just feel the tension among a lot of the legislators. They're very concerned about the budget. They're very concerned about where the state's going, and they're trying to figure this whole thing out. And this is the most complex and difficult session I've ever seen. And we usually say that, but I think that's particularly true now. I mean, they are really short a lot of money, and they're trying to develop policies that are going to work. And so everybody's pretty much on edge, I would say.
Well, you know, it's interesting because to counterbalance that, at the dinner last night, meeting a lot of the freshmen, assemblymen and senators, the enthusiasm and the excitement about being there.
Well, yeah, but they haven't got to the big fight yet. And a legislator told me yesterday, Sam, there is a lot of activity, and I agree with Ernie that more than I've seen in a long time. But a legislator said to me yesterday, you know, we haven't had to make any decisions yet,
right.
and that's true. They have not. These jobs, so-called jobs creation bills, I'm not sure that they will, but let's see what happens. Are kind of easy votes at this stage. It looks like things are happening. Something is being done, and they're trying to work to get Nevada's back to work. But there's the enthusiasm among the freshmen, I think, is because they're blind to the fact that they've never been through a really tough situation, which they will be very shortly.
And I want to point out to all our friends listening on the radio that there are a lot of smiles at this table as you were speaking about that. Just want to throw this out. We've got about 30 seconds left here. A story that came out of Roll Call that headlined, some lobbyists asked NRSC to push Ensign out. Your thoughts on this, Trey?
Well, I mean, they had a poll done that Heller was involved with that showed Heller killing Ensign in a primary and Heller beating, I think, every one of his, yeah, I do have to be careful with my words now, a beating Ensign in a primary and all of his, any Democrat opponents that would come up against him. And so the D.C. guys are looking like, hey, let's not have this is a state that we need to keep. You know, the Democrats are going to defend something like 21, 22 seats next time around. The Republicans are only going to have 4, 5, 6. And so this is one they definitely want to keep, and they don't want to see a nasty primary and an Ensign or Heller come out real bloodied without any money, out of that thing. So I think they'd rather just see Ensign go away, probably.
A quick 10 seconds.
But I'm not sure Ensign is going to go away. I think you may see a bloody primary, despite everybody's intentions to not do that.
Yeah, but how bloody can it be if you have no money?
Yeah, well, he's geared up and he's going, as far as I can see. So it will be a very, very acrimonious and tough situation for everybody involved in that primary.
All right, and that's where we've got to leave it. Thank you all very much. We appreciate it. We'll be right back in about a Newsmakers after this timeout.
Are you looking for new appliances? Do you want to save a lot of money? Appliance Outlet offers brand new appliances with full factory warranties and savings up to 65% every day. When the box stores order incorrectly, the merchandise is discounted through our store with huge savings. We specialize in box store misorders, closeouts, and some scratch and ding. Appliance Outlet offers a factory service department as well as professional delivery and installation. In this tough economy, why pay any more than you need to? Appliance Outlet in Carson City, where you can save up to 65% every day.
Now just $37 installs all the Lee's carpet you want at Giant Carpet One Floor and Home.
Life means changing. It's time for renovating. Time to find how great your floors can be.
During Giant Carpet One's $37 whole house installation sale, just $37 installs one room, three rooms, even a whole house of Lee's carpet. Any color, any style, save hundreds right now.
So easy.
Giant Carpet One Floor and Home, the one store for your perfect floor.
For anyone who thinks they can beat a Reno Dodge deal in 2011, well, I'm taking the gloves off.
Forget MSRP and dealer markup. Right now, a new Dodge Caliber can be yours for just $16,000. Even save almost $6,000 off normal retail. Or take advantage of 0% APR for 60 months. Thanks to extra factory incentives, a new Dodge Nitro can be yours for less than ever. Now just $20,000. Even save almost $8,000 off normal retail.
Nobody beats a Reno Dodge deal.
Nobody.
Are you ready for this?
It's really good.
There's a new network that's home to all your favorite movies and so much more.
That's just fine.
This TV.
You're in capable hands.
Prepare to laugh. Prepare for battle. Prepare to be entertained. This TV. To find where This TV is in your area and what great movies are playing, log on to thistv.com.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Coming up next week, Tim Crowley, president of the Nevada Mining Association, Senator John Lee, and Randy Walker, head of McCarran Airport. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.